Bless you all. So good to see you tonight. Thank you to the Art and Russell for weed eating today all around and working on the sanctuary grounds, the campus, and making it look so good. And so we're so thankful to them. And I want you to pray also for Justin. He came home from Sacramento, from the Capitol. They were protecting that. He came home today and just got word that he's going back in the morning. So anyway, be praying for Justin and the family. And just protection will be upon him. Amen. I know many of you have loved ones in the police force and in the medical field. And, you know, this is not a time to be whining and complaining about little things. It's whatever we don't like. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's heavy-duty things going on. And, I mean, our hearts get heavy. So you're going to see why I'm bringing you the message I am tonight. And I can't wait to bring it. I just think it's so simple, but I think it's profound. And it's awesome. And it will help us if we listen tonight. And you at home, please just take, you know, 20 minutes and just sit down with me and listen to this word tonight in Jesus' name. Could we give to the Lord tonight? I think we have some offering baskets right here. Going to be a little different tonight, but let me just pray and Art, why don't you come over here and pray, okay, over our offering? And then you all just get up and come. Those of you over here, just come to this side. Those of you can go right over there. If you'll just bless our giving. Some may be tithing tonight. Some may be giving an offering.
Father, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity and privilege, Father, that you give us, that we could give to you, Father, give to the kingdom. Father, all of it is yours. Father, you've provided a way and a means for us, Lord. So, Father, we just give joyfully back to you, Lord. Bless the tither, Lord. Bless the giver. Bless those that cannot give, Lord. Teach them, Father, the importance of the blessing. Father, we just thank you, Father, for all that are here. Bless this now, Father, to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Did you hear what he said? The importance of the blessing. Father, remind them of the importance of the blessing. The blessing is putting it in your church, putting it into the kingdom of heaven. The blessing is when it leaves our hands. Come on. Let's just bless the Lord tonight. Now remember, we are social distancing. There you go, Laura. Let's just back away. Listen. I love you, sis. Come on, you guys. We'll have a good time tonight. Yes, Lord.
Every praise is to our God.
Come on, say it.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Come on, take me up just a little bit.
Yeah, every praise is to him. Now listen, tonight I want to talk to you about the importance of having a song in our heart. Now that's about as old as message as you can get. Everybody knows about having a song in your heart. Let's see, Linda, will you grab my glasses right out of my bag? I'm sorry, I forgot to get those. They're right there in one of the pockets. I'm going to give you a few scriptures tonight, but we are going to read from Psalms 137 in a short time. So if you want to get Psalms 137 so you can see that with me, thank you. That'll be great. But especially right now, while we've got all of this stuff going on, we surely do want to keep this message in our heart. How many of you, let me ask you first, how many of you love music? You love it? Everybody but Laura. Laura, she had the hardest time when she first started coming to church. And we would worship, and I'd notice she would come in just before the preaching started. Now, I'm telling on you, Laura. But I asked her one day, I said, Laura, how come you come in so late? She says, well, Pastor, I'm just not a music lover, and I really don't care about the songs. And yet she loved the Word. And I said, Laura, come on now. And so I had to teach her, and I said, you know, we're singing this to the Lord, so let's lift up our worship. So we had to visit about it a few times, didn't we? But you know what? She got it, and it was a short time where I would see her come in, and she would say, well, Pastor, you know, I notice sometimes some of you are crying or weeping. And I said, Laura, you may not get it now, but you will. You just start looking at the words and getting that. Pretty soon you'll have a song that'll get in your heart. And there wasn't very long. I'd be up there, and I'd look out there, and she'd just be weeping before the Lord. And now I think she loves it. Sometimes she's even got a little rhythm going on with it. Not real good rhythm, but, you know, she's doing better. So anyway, Laura, I'm glad that you moved into it. But, you see, not everybody was raised with music in the home. And not everybody can carry tune. And I get that. But here's the thing about a song. In the secular realm, and any place you go, a song strikes a mood in us. Did you know that? Songs speak to just about any emotion that you have. It'll make you sad. It'll make you happy. If people are going through a divorce, sometimes they're like, I just love that old country music, but it just makes me cry. And you know the story on that. You've heard it, but let me repeat it. You know, if you play the country songs backward, the man gets his truck back, his wife back, his dog back. So you know that it's going to strike a chord in some of those things. Now, it even speaks things that are in people's hearts. Now, I've written a lot of songs over the years, and most people that were in gospel singing groups have written songs. And I noticed the things that I was going through were the things that came out. Those were the things that came out, the heartfelt things. And today you even hear rappers that will sing songs. I was somewhere in a mall a while back when you could go to malls. And went into this one store. And I was going to buy a younger girl some clothes. And so I went into one of those stores. And they had one of the most horrible videos on. And the words to those songs, I guess it was rap. And they were vulgar. They were cuss words that I got out of there as quickly as I could get out. What were they doing? They were speaking to emotions. It was full of hate. They were speaking hate and all kinds of things, even from murder and a whole lot of things that go. So we know that songs can speak to us with happiness, sadness, loneliness, all kinds of feelings, fear, hate, all kinds of things come out of those songs. But we also know, as we've read the Psalms over the years and we've heard such teaching over the years about David, many pastors, you'll hear them refer to David as a psalmist. That means he was a writer of songs, and he played the harp, and it was amazing, the songs that he wrote. And I love, this might be the country coming out of me, but when I hear a song, I like the music to match the words. Is that crazy today? And, you know, we've talked so much, Pastor Lindell and me, and over the years we've talked about songs being wordy. So many of the songs are very wordy, and it's hard to get that song in your heart when there's so many words to it. But there was one song a few years ago to show you how God will touch a song. And see, when God wants to touch a song, he will anoint that song, and it'll go platinum all over the world. And Hillsong, Darlene Check, was a pretty blonde young woman at that time, always dressed in like a suit. And she wrote, Shout to the Lord, all the earth let it sing. And that song was one of the wordiest songs you have ever heard. But I'm going to tell you, the first time I heard that song, you know, for the most part, songs usually have to grow on you. You don't like them all the time the first time you hear them, but after a while you hear it again and again. But that song, you just liked it when you heard it, because there was an anointing on it, and it went platinum and gold all over the world. So God touched that song, and David wrote some songs. Many of the songs that we sing come out of David's words. In fact, when they started singing Holy, Holy, Holy tonight, that was right out of the Word of God. So many of the songs we do come right out of not only the psalmist, but out of the words of John in what he saw in the book of Revelation, the words that the angels sing. But I want to pull it down to where we are, because even with what David wrote, he wrote songs of joy, songs of victory, songs of despair. You could see when David was hurting, those songs would just be full of pain and full of hurt. And then he would write another song, and it was just exuberant. Remember the songs of Deborah when they won the victory, and the songs of Moses when they came through the Red Sea? Oh, you ought to read that. When they came through the Red Sea, about the song of Moses and how exciting it was. But I wanted to bring it down to where we are, because we have been given songs. I believe God gave us music to touch our very soul. I love it when I hear a song that just touches my very heart. You know what I mean on that? And that's just not a cliche when I say, do you know what I mean? I mean, do you know what I am saying? There's times where I tell Linda, let's learn this song. It just has a feeling to it. It just has a feeling in it. And when you get that, there's just something about it. And so those songs come in and they will change our lives. So that's why I want to talk to you tonight about the importance. Not only the importance, but it's very powerful to have our own song in our heart. We're not going to turn to 1 Samuel 16, but because you know this story, so I'll save time with it. But remember when the Bible says that God sent an evil spirit to Saul. Saul was an evil king. Started out right, but went evil. Okay, so God called David, or Saul would call David, excuse me. Saul called David, and he knew that David could play that harp. And he knew that boy was anointed. And so when he'd start flipping out of his mind and getting all distraught and feeling like he was going insane, he would call for little David. Somebody get David. Have David come and bring his harp. And David would come and sit before Saul. It's 1 Samuel 16, I think it's about verse 23. And he would come in there and he would play that harp. And the anointing would come out of that music. The anointing would come off of that song with whatever David was singing. And Saul would calm right down. He would calm right down. So don't think it's not important to have a song. If you're not a music lover, then ask somebody that you think might have knowledge to the kind of music you like, and ask them about a gospel group or a singer or somebody that could sing the kind of music that you enjoy. And I promise you, you begin to play that in your car or where you are, you will get a song in your heart. And when things are just topsy-turvy and you're not feeling good, you put that song on. Sometimes early in the morning, I will just put that song on, my favorite song, or I'll just have a repeat play of songs that I like to just go over and over. And it doesn't take you long just to get into a spirit of calm and a spirit of rejoicing. And in this time of agitation, I'm going to tell you, I just feel like people being really agitated right now, including myself. They're like, God, I don't know. I just kind of feel agitated, or maybe even a spirit of depression or oppression tries to come. But if you will train yourself to get this song in your heart and just let that song go over and over in you. And again, I think I told you this a few weeks ago. It maybe your song might be, He Touched Me, Oh, He Touched Me, a song you knew it back in the 60s, or I Worship You, Almighty God. You know, it could just be something we're singing today, or Oh, How I Love Jesus. But let that song go off in you and let it just calm the agitation. And if you'll train yourself to do that, I promise you, you'll feel the difference. You just will. And you don't have to be able to, you know, sing like a bird and have a beautiful voice to do that. Just keep the song in you. Now, I want you to hear this. I posted this on Facebook today, or I had Isaiah do it. As I was working on this, I don't know of any message that I've enjoyed building more than I have this one for tonight. I wish I was bringing this on Sunday, but the Lord said it would be here for us tonight. But I couldn't wait, and I had him put this on there, Zephaniah 3:17. Kathy, if you can pull that up, I didn't give it to you, but Zephaniah 3:17. Listen to this. It's just so full. But I will just point out some things, and you can write it down. Put it in your notes, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He delights in you. He will, look at this, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with what? Look at that. He will rejoice over us with singing. Isn't that the sweetest thing? What did you do when your babies were growing up? You would put them in your arms and hum a little tune. You would sing to them. And what happened? You rocked them to sleep, or you would sing them. You're getting some lessons right now, huh, Russell? And there's something about, especially mama's voice going off, that little baby hears and understands, and it quiets them. And yet it says here that God loves us, he delights in us, and he will quiet us. Right now is a very noisy time. If you don't have the TV on and the TV's blasting, the devil will come and be noisy to you. He will just come and do this and make all the noise he can make about everything under the sun. But if you want to be quieted, remember this. God is singing you a song. Isn't that just awesome? He's singing. He said, I just want to quiet you, baby. I want to calm you down. I'll rock you, and you'll be all right. So even when you may not be singing, understand and know, get this scripture that he is singing over us. All right, Psalms 82, listen to this. Says, the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise, talking to God, because of your enemies. Why? To silence the foe, the avenger. Sometimes God will speak through children and through infants, and he will ordain praise through them. You that are grandparents, you that are young parents, you hear the things those little kids say. And it's such a joy, and it pulls a praise up out of you. Why did it say God did that? He said, I did that on purpose to let those babies speak to you. So that you could see things in them and hear what they're saying. And not just little ones, but some of your own children will speak sometimes. And they're not saying, Mom, thus saith the Lord, or Dad, thus saith the Lord. They just say it, and then something comes out of them. You're like, I heard something in that. You may not have told them because it was so personal, but God let you hear it. Why? It said to silence the foe, to silence the avenger, to silence that devil that's been yakking at you. He never shuts up. Never. He's constantly coming to discourage and to pull down. He came to kill and steal and to destroy. And what are we seeing on this earth right now? Demonic activity that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Killings, stealings, people walking out of these department stores with TVs and tennis shoes and anything they could get, steal, kill, destroy. Just let me tear it up. Just let me set something on fire. Yeah, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Yeah, it's just demonic activity. But he said, I've ordained some praise. I've ordained it to come out of your mouth. So make sure that since he's ordained us to praise, that we do that. He said it will silence the foe. It will silence the avenger. See, how am I going to silence those people up there at Sacramento? Well, I'm sure that there's more than one Justin up there. I'm sure there's some godly people that's out there. I'm sure there's some godly people in certain areas, and hospital workers and teachers and all around. There's some spiritual policemen out there. They're not all murderers. They're not all evil. There's a lot of good policemen saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's filled anointed politicians, not many, but some, that are out here to do good. So God says, I have ordained praise, and I have put praisers in places that have my song to shut up the agenda, the avengers, to silence the foes. And church, when you need to win a battle, remember this. Those of you that are watching at home, you need to win a battle, then you need to get a song in your heart. It is so important to have a praise on our lips, and a song really helps you to get that praise. If you can get a song, those of you that speak Spanish, I'm sure you've got Spanish music at home to listen to, Mama, that will just come out and fill your spirit. So you want to win that battle? Well, you better start singing, because a praise, a song in your heart will bring a release, and it will release joy into your spirit. It will release something that will fight back against that noise. That noise comes, that chatter, 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 chatter. And when you start releasing your praise out of your mouth, you can't just keep it in your heart. But when you release it out of your mouth, it will run your foe away. It will run the enemies away. So let's make sure that we are acting according to the word of God as the people of God and hearing what thus saith the Lord. Now, if you don't believe that, let me just give you probably one of the oldest examples we have, and that's Paul and Silas in the jail. The Bible says they were in the third prison, the third court. Man, they were deep in that prison. What did they do? You know what they did. It was midnight. And they begin to sing. Midnight, they say, it's always darkest. Always darkest at midnight. And then again, they'll say it's just the darkest before daylight. But they were singing at midnight. They were singing praise. And all of the prison heard them. And this singing that they were doing. And see, this is debatable. Now, I've joined in a lot of people saying this. But, you know, we will say over the years, now worship is not singing. And singing is not worship. Well, you can worship without singing, but if you really sing into the Lord, you can't sing without worship. So I would say they're intertwined. Now, some people are more, you know, demonstrative in their worship. Others aren't, but it doesn't matter. If you're singing a praise to him, you're worshiping him. Paul and Silas didn't go into deep worship. They were out there singing praise him, whatever they were singing. They were singing, and when they did, there was an earthquake, and the doors began to shake, and the doors opened. So let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us tonight. Could it be that this simple message, if you just release that song in your heart, that song that you love, if you just release it, could doors open for you? Could doors open for me? Could doors open for the church? Yes! I believe doors open when we begin to sing and we begin to praise. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for a way out and you're in a prison cell, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a prison or felt like you were in a prison in your mind, but I was. It's a horrible place to be. And praise, a song in your heart, the importance, the power of a song, it will open up doors and take you out when you don't even know the path out. You're like, God, if I ever get out of this place, how am I going to get out? And when will I get out? Well, you don't even have to know that. All you have to do is have the song. And God said, just praise me and I'll take care of the rest. Now, if he's singing over us, and he is, because I just read it to you, he is. And he put a song, he gave us songs. Now, you may like a different type of music than I do. And a certain song may move you that doesn't move me. But whatever it is, it moves God when it's coming out of your voice. Lynn used to sing a song, and I loved it. She would sing, there's just something about my praise he loves. And he does. When he hears it coming out of your voice. Renee, I was hearing a song that I used to hear you sing when I was a teenager. I was listening to it the other day in my mind. I was hearing it. I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm filled with glory divine. I'm filled with glory divine. I know that. I know. It was her song. Years later, it came up in my heart. I can hear these songs. But there's something about your praise he loves. Don't you say, well, I can't sing. You know, I can't carry a tune. It doesn't matter. He just loves it. So just turn with me now over to Psalms 137. I want you to see this because I want us not to be guilty of this, and yet we resemble this in some ways. But we are the people of God, and this has always been an amazing scripture to me. Please turn to Psalms 137, verse 1. I'll start to read right now. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, this is the people of Israel. They were in Babylonian bondage, okay? They were slaves in Babylon. So they said, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive ask us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. But then they answered, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Oh, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, and I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Oh, my goodness, that is so, so heartfelt, sad, and grievous to hear that. Now, let me explain it to you. The people of Israel sat down, and they remembered when things were good. Okay, there's a lot of people right now so confused about church. Let's just use that one. So confused. I don't like it like this. None of us like it like this. None of us. And they remembered the way it used to be. Maybe you remembered when your kids were growing up in your home and everybody sat around the table. But it's not like that anymore. You remembered when you were married, you're not married anymore. Well, it's just not that way anymore. The people of Israel are saying, wow, we remember the glory that was in Solomon's temple. We remember the tabernacle of Moses, but we remember that. And they said, "Man, we just wept when we remembered, so we just took our harps and hung them up on the willow trees. We just hung them up. And then it says that those that carried them into slavery, they said, sing us one of your songs. See, the world wants to hear us sing. And the world is watching us when we go through what we go through. And they're wanting to know if our God is really who we say he is. And they want to know if we really believe what we say. So they said, okay, now, you guys were all out there. You could praise out there, and you were the wisest and the smartest, and you had everything going on, and now you're a slave. Why don't you sing us a song? And they said, sing one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? I can't sing in this land. Oh, I just can't sing like this. It's so sad and it's so grievous. And you guys beat us and we work hard. And I can't sing. I've never been in this place before. This is a sad place for God's people, because you'll watch people when everything's good and they're singing a song, and God is good, God is good, praise God. But when they're grieving, they're like, this isn't fair, this is not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. You want to say, what's not fair? It was fair for me when I went through. Well, it wasn't fair that my husband said he didn't want to be married anymore. Well, it isn't fair. And it's not good, but you better not be hanging your song up on the willow tree. You better keep that song in your heart, because your babies in that house and your children and your mother and your daddy and sisters and brothers are going to say, are you still singing it? Well, no, I'm too discouraged. I don't even go to church anymore. See, we get into these places and it's hot and it's very hard. A lot of people today have lost their jobs. Well, this is no time to hang your harp up on the willow tree. Man, get that song out and be like Paul and Silas and keep singing so you can get that next door open. Get the best job. You start saying, I'm going to have the best job in Tulare County. I'm not going to be without. I'm going to have more. I'm not going to sit home and draw unemployment just because it's a little more than I was making. I'm going to make more than that. Because somebody's watching you and they'll say, are you still singing? You say, God is good. God is good all the time. Listen, if you make up your mind, you walk through this, you will praise him just like, I don't want to be like these people that couldn't sing. They're like, we cannot sing in this foreign land. I pray that everyone in the body of Christ will come to that place where I can sing, whether it's this or that, whether my bank account is full or whether it's empty. It does not matter. Whether I'm trying, now I got kicked out of the house, I got to find another house, the lights got turned off today, but I'm praising God. Somehow God will get those lights back on for me tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, those kind of things will shut up the foes and open doors for us. And listen to the song God is singing over you. What is he singing? He's saying, I'm going to make a way for you. I'll take you into new places that you never dreamed. I'll work a work in your day that if I told you, you wouldn't believe. Oh, he just got all kinds of songs. So they are watching us because I'm going to tell you, when they see us singing a song in a foreign land, it does much more than any silver-tongued minister or silver-tongued orator or message could ever do. Just watching you when you're going through crisis moves people more than anything you'll ever see. There is nothing like a personal testimony. Nothing. Kids are rebelling. No, God's good to us. We're going through. Son went to jail. Daughter went to jail. Church is different. I don't get it, Pastor, but it's all right. I love my church. I mean, some people just flip out. I ain't coming in there, blah, blah, blah. What? Do you love your church? Do you love Jesus, or is it about you? Is it about what you want? I don't like it either. You don't like some things, but we love Jesus. So we come in and we say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know you do. All right, so listen, let's go to Habakkuk 3:17-18. And I'm going to read it so you can, might be a little harder for you to find, but look above and you'll see it. Listen, because sometimes this happens and sometimes it's happening like right now in some places. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine. Though the olive crop fails and produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I'll be joyful in the God my Savior. He says, God, now this is a farmer. I don't have any sheep in my pen. I used to have a whole herd of sheep, flock or whatever you call them. I don't have any sheep now. I don't have any grapes on the vine. The olive crops failed. There's no food. But he said, but I'm going to rejoice. See, that's what the people of God, we do. You just rejoice anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up and singing, man. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. I was talking to a couple of pastors down there last night. And we're like, do you ever see anything like this in the warfare that surrounds us? Warfare, and yet we just go on as though nothing's going on, and yet you got to get your own self up by your own bootstraps. So I believe that this is why God is saying, no, you can tell him, get a song, and you keep your song. Me, I'm working hard, you guys. Listen, I'm working hard to keep my own song going. There's so many voices, so much stuff, and you can't even hardly watch the news. I mean, you just don't even want to turn it on. All right, let me pull it down now. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you know this story too, Jehoshaphat. They were surrounded by armies. Everybody said, Jehoshaphat, you see, we're surrounded by armies. He said, I know it. I know it. But the Bible says that they sought the Lord. He called a 3-day fast. They sought the Lord, and the prophets began to speak. And the Bible says the people began to sing, and they began to praise, and the Lord set ambushments against the armies. Only by a song. They didn't have to go out there and fight. They didn't have swords. They didn't have, of course, guns. They may have had arrows. I don't know what they had. But they didn't use any of it. All they did was sing, like Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, it opened doors. Children speak, he said, it shuts the mouth of foes. God sings, and it settles us. Now, he said, we sung, and we set ambushments against the armies, every one of them. And the enemy was defeated by a song. Is that amazing? The enemy totally defeated by a song. So if you've got an enemy against you, whether, you know, it's physical or spiritual or whatever it might be going on in your home or in your marriage, you can shut the mouth of that enemy and chase that army out of town by a song of praise. Hallelujah. Enemy defeated by a song. And if there's ever been a time when we need a song in our heart, it's right now. Right now. So get one. And make sure you just release it out of your heart. Because miracles will come when we need it. If we keep this song. Get some music. If you... Some of you in here tonight, you say, I'm not a music lover, Pastor. Where do I go? Well, we'll see if we can help you and get you some music. I got a lot of music. We'll see if we can get you something to listen to. If you don't know what to listen to, but make sure you can sing something out of your own heart, too, as well. Get a song you learned as a child if you don't have, and I believe most of you do. But most of all, listen to this. David taught the nation that they must come into God's presence with an offering of worship, Psalms 100. So he said, a song and to sing and to praise is how we come into worship. Now, when we come in, remember, sometimes I think we grew up, those that grew up in the church, we grew up kind of thinking that the songs, the worship, just kind of sets the atmosphere for the word. That's all we're doing, is just getting ready for the word to come forth. We're just kind of settling things in. We're just singing because singing is a part of the service. It's what we do. We do the first 20 or 30 or 45 minutes with worship. It's just what we do. No, it isn't just what we do. No, it isn't just to set the atmosphere, though it does set the atmosphere. But it's to come bring us into the presence of the Lord. That's why the angels sung, holy, holy Lord, your mercy endureth forever. Not just to warm up, but to come before his presence with singing. That's what it said. David taught them over and over, you come into his presence with singing. Amen, church? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to be dismissed. I'll tell you what. Why don't you all just come up here with me to the front? And let's just, come on, just come up here with me. And let's just talk to the Lord here a minute.